Good morning. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. It looks like fall is here, but I'm sure we'll get second summer here in a little bit. So while it's cool, I decided to vest again, and I feel better. I feel more protected from you. So you missed Sunday school this morning before worship. That is partially my fault because I did not send out a reminder email earlier this week. So my apologies. But next week, come at 9:30 and we'll do some more talking about women in the New Testament. Sounds like a plan? And then our Wednesday Bible study, that will resume in October. I will have more coming up on that. I do want to let you know that there is a deacon meeting directly after worship today. And I'm super excited to let you know that you should save the date for October 7th. That's a Saturday. We're going to have a blessing of the pets. So we'll have it outside in the parking lot, and we're going to let the neighborhood know about it. And I'm excited. We have plans for if it rains too, but it'll be just a short service, and I'll make sure that all of your furry, feathered, finned, and four-legged family members are blessed. Furry, feathered, finned, and four-legged family members. those F-words are okay. Are there any other announcements that I'm forgetting? Anything I need to? 1 o'clock.
Kristen.
Yes.
We are looking for baked goods for the craft show. If you want to bake early, the freezer's down here. We can freeze anything that comes in early.
Baked goods for the craft show. The craft show is October
21st.
October 21st. So if you bake any baked goods that you want to have at the craft show, see BJ. She knows everything. And if she doesn't know, Carol does. Were you saying something else?
I was just asking if she still needed vendors.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we do.
Okay. Oh, we do still need vendors? If you know anybody who wants to vend at the craft show, you can also talk to BJ. All right, anything else? Okay, with all of that very important business taken care of, let us gather our hearts and minds, set our phones at their most prayerful and meditative settings, and get ready to proclaim our readiness to worship God. We gather to give thanks for all the blessings and hope of life. We praise God, we rejoice and give thanks. We join our voices in praise and thanksgiving. In all things, may God be glorified. Let us rise in body or spirit to join together in our opening hymn, Come Live in the Light. do not have to beg God to forgive us, but simply confess our foolish words, our mistaken acts, our grudging hearts. Please join with me as we pray together. Nurturing God, like a hen gathers her brood under her wings, you desire to gather your children, but division and disagreement plague us. We cling to rigid certainties, approach each other in arrogance, and fail to listen. We walk away from conflict rather than working through it. Forgive us, Holy God. Help us to grow in faith, mature in relationship, and be transformed through your steadfast love.
Amen.
Here is the good news. God does not hold a grudge against us. God lets go of anger and welcomes us as siblings of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven, redeemed, and restored to God's path of righteousness. Amen. Friends, let us now profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace.
Man, there's so many of you up there.
And please be seated for our choir's anthem.
When you're ripping me, bro.
Amen. It's really nice to have the choir back. Let us now lift up our prayers of concern and joy for the world, the church, and for one another. Please pray with me. Loving God, as summer rapidly rolls into fall and busy schedules give us little space to pause and contemplate the eternal, we quiet ourselves now to enter your presence, to open our minds and hearts, to breathe the air you provide, to feel our hearts beat, to give thanks, and to lift our prayerful petitions. You bless us, God, with your steadfast love, surrounding us in times of suffering, comforting us in sorrow, offering us hope to face whatever is ahead. There's so much devastation, so much pain. We can't wrap our minds around all of it. Yet we still petition you, great God of all, to be with your people struggling to recover from natural disasters, especially those affected by flooding in Libya and earthquakes in Morocco, to strengthen your people oppressed by worldly powers and greedy regimes, to soften hearts hell-bent on war and violence, to heal those who are wounded, sick, and grieving. We especially pray for Cheryl D'Amico and family following the death of her mother, Jeannie. We pray for Patty Gamrod's daughter, Jody May French, who's having a benign tumor removed from under her arm tomorrow afternoon. And BJ gives thanks for all of the prayers. She got a good report from the cardiologist, and she just has a few more tests. Faithful God, we trust that you will never abandon us. We trust in your promise to provide for us, our children, and your creation. We know joy because of you. We are blessed with family and friends and neighbors by your call to beloved community. Even amid suffering, you grace us with joyful opportunities to laugh, play, sing, and dance. Help us, Holy God, to not be so focused on all that is going wrong that we miss all that is going right. Finally, ground us in your news, your good news, O God, and help us to hold on to your promise of redemption in Jesus Christ. Keep our feet steady on Christ's path. Help us follow his teachings. Help us love as he loved. Hear us now as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our hymn of meditation, Forgive Our Sins as We Forgive. be seated. We are inspired to be generous by a generous God. We are inspired to give by the greatest of givers. In gratitude to God, let us present our tithes and offerings. Almighty God, receive these gifts that we offer with grateful hearts and use our lives for the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. The scripture this morning is taken from Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 to 21. Realizing that their father was dead, Joseph's brother said, "What if Joseph still bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong that we did to him?" So they approached Joseph, saying, "Your father gave this instruction before he died. Say to Joseph, 'I beg you, forgive the crime of your brothers and the wrong they did in harming you. Now therefore, please forgive the crime of the servants of the God of your father.'" Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also wept, fell down before him, and said, "We are here as your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in place of God? Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people as he is doing today. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones." In this way, he reassured them, speaking kindly to them.
This is the word.
Please pray with me. Open us, eternal God, to your word read and proclaimed. Help us not to turn from your truth or avoid your message. Help us to be receptive to the wisdom you offer. Amen. So there's this old Buddhist story about a farmer, and it goes something kind of like this. One day, there was a farmer, and his horse ran away. And his neighbors hear about this loss, and they come over to give condolences, and they say, "Oh, what terrible luck." And the farmer replies, "Maybe." And the next day, the horse comes back and brings with it three wild horses. And the neighbors see this, and they say, "How wonderful." And the farmer replies, Maybe. The following day, the farmer's son decides to try to break one of the wild horses. He tries to tame him, and he gets thrown off of the horse, and he breaks his leg. And the neighbors come over, hoping to, you know, sort of help out the situation, and they just, such bad luck. And the farmer says, maybe. And it just so happened that the very next day, the military officials came into town and they were looking to draft young men of the village into the military. And they come across the farmer's son and they see his busted up leg and they pass him by. And the neighbors hear about this and they tell the farmer, "What great fortune!" And the farmer replies, "Maybe." As I was trying to process this passage for today, that story came to mind because it shows that we can't fully know the evil or the good that might come from any of life's events. We don't know, we're not privy to the ultimate meaning of what happens in our day-to-day lives. It also occurred to me recently that maybe not everyone is as much of a Bible nerd as I am, and maybe you're not as immersed in all of the Bible stories, so it might be helpful to remind you who Joseph is in this passage that we're talking about. Do you know, are you familiar with Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat? It's that Joseph that we're talking about. So Joseph was the 11th of Jacob's 12 sons, and you're not supposed to have a favorite child. But if you do have a favorite child, common sense dictates that you keep that information on the down low. You not be real obvious about who your favorite is. And evidently, Jacob did not have a lot of common sense because it was pretty obvious to everyone, including the brothers, that Joseph was his favorite son from his favorite wife. That's right, he had many wives. I think sort of like the straw that broke the camel's back was that Jacob gifted Joseph with this beautiful and expensive coat of many colors. So not only was it evident to the other sons that Joseph was the favorite, but Joseph also knew that he was the favorite. And he didn't make any sort of effort to make his brothers think otherwise. He even told his brothers about a dream he had where he would rule over them and they would bow down before him. The brothers are sick and tired of Joseph's gloating, and they plotted to kill him, which is, you know, the appropriate thing to do when you're tired of your sibling. Fortunately, at the very last minute, they decided not to kill him and instead sell him into slavery. There were a whole bunch of delays and setbacks, but Joseph eventually rose from slavery to a place of actual honor in the court of the Egyptian pharaoh. Part of this is because Joseph had the gift of prophecy. He had prophetic dreams, and he was able to predict that there was going to be a famine. So while there was a famine back in Canaan, where Joseph's brothers lived, in Egypt, they had plenty of food because Joseph predicted this, and they stockpiled some food. So, of course, while the brothers are facing starvation, they know that Egypt has a ton of food, so they go to Egypt. And who do they see but Joseph, who has the power to give them food? Of course, Joseph plays some antics. But ultimately, he does decide to help out his brothers, and he gives them food and a place to stay, also their families. And then Jacob dies. Their beloved father, the patriarch, he passes away. Now the brothers are already feeling pretty guilty. They know what they've done. They know that it wasn't right. But now that Jacob's passed, they're afraid. Maybe Joseph only took care of them because of their father. Perhaps he was only waiting for Jacob's death to finally take revenge. I mean, that's what any of the brothers would have done in that situation. They're living in this constant state of fear, waiting for the repercussions of their evil actions. So they tell Joseph that right before their father died, that he asked Joseph to forgive his brothers. We don't know whether or not Jacob actually made this deathbed request, but the fact that they couched their request for forgiveness and mercy in the words of their father is a little telling. But Joseph didn't choose revenge. He refused to play God. He refused to judge them or sentence them to death or to enslavement. What he did was he took that story and he reinterpreted it. He reinterpreted the story of their whole relationship. Joseph acknowledges that the brothers' intentions were evil. But he also assures them that God responded to their evil actions in such a way as to accomplish something good. The brothers' evil intent is overshadowed by God's good intent, so that God could not only save their lives, but the lives of many other people, because of his ability to prepare for an otherwise unanticipated famine. God actively engaged with what the brothers did in a way that ultimately held redemptive power rather than the destruction that they had intended. And this story of Joseph and his brothers is just one example of how God's providential care works both through and despite free human action. We see this story over and over again throughout the Bible. And life today, as it is in Genesis and the rest of the Bible, full of rivalries and conflicts. I know every single person here has experienced wrongs and hurts and injustices through the action of others. And I also know that we have all inflicted wrongs and hurts and injustices upon others. I cannot explain to you why bad things happen to good people. I don't know how God is at work in this thing or that thing. We can only trust that God is lovingly at work at all times. I'm also aware of how much of a cop-out answer that is. And I know that it doesn't help any of you who are here today and in pain. But I do want to be clear. God is neither directly nor indirectly responsible for Joseph's suffering. God does not cause evil in our world. God does not intend human evil. God does not want any of us to suffer. There's a huge difference between God causes terrible things for a purpose and God takes terrible events and transforms them into good. That first thing would make God very selfish and unloving. And the other shows God's creative and healing powers. Because here's the thing. Humans are not God's automatons. God lets us make our own decisions. And we can act for good in the face of those who plan for evil. But we can also complicate God's intentions for good. I think the ultimate illustration of God transforming evil intentions into good, I think that ultimate illustration is Easter. The evil intentions of the religious authorities and the Roman power worked intentional harm in the crucifixion of Christ. Yet, Jesus' death brought resurrection. God transformed this ultimate evil into the ultimate good. The good news here today is that even intentional evil cannot thwart the providence of God. God can and does take intentional evil and transforms it into God's purposes. And even then, like the farmer, we're left with a mystery of its final meanings. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn, Live Into Hope. Before we head back out into the world, let me offer a charge and a blessing. God does not abandon us. God's love is steadfast. May this love inspire all of our relationships as we leave this house of worship, knit together in God's love, bound as the community of Christ, guided by the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen.